1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Dr. Neil Phelps is joining me today as we face the issues. We're asking the question, Pete Hegseth did what? All he did was had his pastor to preach, and then he prayed in the name of King Jesus. And it's, you would think the world's coming to an end. Just before the top of the hour news break, I read a portion of an article from ACLJ, J. Seculo's ministry, and I'll read a brief statement from that once again. Preachers are being jailed, churches are being shut down, and it's happening all across America, from Chicago to LA. As shocking as this sounds, the war on your Christian faith is spreading more rapidly than anyone would ever believe. As Christians, our sacred duty is to fight back. End quote. Dr. Phelps, I like that. He's saying, as I have said, he's a man after my own heart. Christians ought not to sit down in silence. We ought not to hide in the closet. We ought not to roll under the bed and pretend there's nothing happening. We shouldn't close our eyes and look the other way, as some believe and some think and some promulgate from the pulpit even, that we need to be silent. We need to speak up, stand up, be salt and be light in the world in which we're living in today. I am saying to everyone listening that we need to understand that we need to pray for the president. We need to ask God to continue to use him to give guidance, wisdom, and most of all, protection from the enemy. I stated earlier in the broadcast, just over the Memorial Day holiday, a parade was held. In that parade, the parade walkers walking down the street, a multitude of them had a fake head in their hands, and the fake head was of President Trump. And as they were walking, they were chanting, "Kill Trump, kill Trump, kill Trump, kill Trump." And now, my comparison of that is this. That seems to be all right. The media says nothing. The socialist Marxist media is silent. We hear, by the way, even though I think Pam Bondi is doing a good job as DOJ, even though I think that each of the cabinet members are doing a great job, why is it that you can have open requirement, open request, open chanting of kill the president, kill the president, kill the president, and there's no arrest, there's no warrants out for the a threat on the life of the president? I find that egregious. I find that absolutely almost impossible to believe. But that's what we see taking place today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe Tammy is on the line. Tammy, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I want to tell you that I'm so encouraged by your broadcast. I listen to it when I'm running my errands about the day, and it's very refreshing. And especially this morning, my first call in, I just wanted to let you know that I was so refreshed when I heard that Pete Hegseth had prayed and even started a prayer group. What a wonderful thing to hear. I mean, my spirit just lit up.
Amen.
And I was compelled by the Holy Spirit to pray over him for protection and his going forward to tell people about the Lord in his public position. I was just praying. It was just the most beautiful prayer, and I was so encouraged by it. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And my thought was this, Dr. Youngblood, if Billy or Franklin Graham, as reverends, had prayed that prayer, and they pray in the name of Jesus, would there have been more of a tolerance, or is it because he is in the position he's in, they felt disrespectful to do that?
I think you're right. I think that if it had been the name one of the Grahams, that Franklin Graham, Billy Graham, of course, with the Lord, there would have been less attitude. But listen, just a couple of years back, where Franklin Graham had been invited to come and speak at the Pentagon. It was before Trump went back in office. He was invited to come. He was scheduled to be there. And enough of the left inside the Pentagon rejected that, and they disinvited Franklin Graham to come because he does pray in Jesus' name. He was disinvited to speak at the Pentagon and have prayer services there. So I am thankful to see Pete Hegseth that's willing to do that, willing to take the stand. But it is, Tammy, it's one of the things that I'm saying. We see the absolute difference in parts of society. We see where the Christians are, many of them, standing up, speaking up, especially within President Trump's cabinet. And then we see the socialist Marxist media, the leftists, and those that are chiding all that is said in the name of Jesus, and threatening impeachment, threatening to murder, threatening to remove, threatening those that are saying anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. That just shows you, Tammy, the system that we're in, the day in which we're living in. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, paraphrased, says Satan is the prince and the power of this world. And that's what we see today. The prince and the power of the world. And Satan himself says he's going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And we're witnessing that speeding up, the exponential speeding up of satanic, demonic activities, as we see the day nearing when the church will be raptured out. But I am so thankful, I'm eternally grateful to see Pete Hegseth and others that's willing to stand for their Christian faith. But Tammy, we need to keep praying that God will give wisdom to the president, and that God will protect the president. So thank you. As we keep praying, we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Tammy, thank you for your call, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps and I have been talking about this in the broadcast today. Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at an article that says, and it's it's a question that brought ire to the local media when we put this on our marquee, and I had not seen it in print before. Can you be a Christian and a Democrat? The article reads, the Democratic Party and current candidates actively and rabidly support Planned Parenthood, a racist organization founded by eugenist Margaret Sanger. She hated black people and wanted to get rid of them. Forever wonder why 79% of Planned Parenthood clinics are in minority neighborhoods, and the article goes on and on. It's very clear that objectively the Democratic Party is responsible for, proudly claims responsibility for, 57 million lives taken in abortion. That number's off. That number's really about 73 million. So the point that I make with that, ladies and gentlemen, is we're witnessing a party on the left, the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, called the Democrats, that literally hate Christians, hate everything that Christians are doing. They despise the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart and the life. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you say you're saved and you say you're part of the Democratic Party and you can tell me how the two coexist, I'd love to hear from you. Call me and tell me. I'm not going to get angry with you. I just want you to defend your position. If you say you're Christian and you say you're Democrat, I want you to defend that. I call it an oxymoron. That's two irreconcilable truths. You can't be saved and a Democrat at the same time. It's an impossibility. Dr. Phelps, as we see things evolving or devolving as they are, and we witness the attack on Christians and the Christian church, is this something new? What did Jesus say to his disciples? Speak to this, where Jesus said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. Jesus told his disciples, they've hated me and they're going to hate you. Mm-hmm. It's something that we should be prepared to face and to do so prayerfully. In the book of Acts, as the book of Acts began, and I'm looking at chapter 3, there was a lame man that was healed. And the religious authorities became upset over that. Mm-hmm. And they confronted the disciples and they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, the apostle, replied. He says to them, if you want to examine us and know about the good deed to this lame man and by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. They couldn't argue with that because there was a man who was well. And he went on to say, this is what the Bible has been telling us about. This is a person that God has told us about throughout the scriptures. It's his son. And he went on to say in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And so what they saw on the part of Christians was boldness. Mm-hmm. And they called them upon the carpet and said, we don't want you to be teaching or preaching anymore in this name, in the name of Jesus. And Peter answered in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, Peter and John said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto men, unto God, judge you, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so they had to let them go, but they threatened them. There was the threat on their part. And what the disciples did after that was go and meet together. They assembled and they began to pray. And they prayed for boldness to speak.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us of a very unusual thing. When they prayed, the place where they were began to have shaking feelings. Mm-hmm. It was like an earthquake. Mm-hmm. God was among them. God was
with them. The power of prayer.
Yeah, that's the power of prayer.
Absolutely.
And so they, when they prayed, the Bible tells us that they were praying like this. They said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's a prayer we need to pray today. Lord, look at what they're doing. Give us boldness to stand in the name of Jesus and continue to pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, now, as Dr. Phelps is speaking, I thought of the book of Nehemiah, where the enemy is battling against Nehemiah. He has 49,942 people that's working together. In chapter 2 of Nehemiah, the 18th verse, they agreed with him that is Nehemiah, that they're going to build the wall, and they said, let us rise up and build. In chapter 4, where the enemy is criticizing, and the enemy is threatening to come in, a conspiracy threatening to come in and kill all of the workers, Nehemiah said to them in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20, our God shall fight for you.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to, I believe Christians need to recognize today, Dr. Phelps, that it's not a battle that we carry out ourselves. It's a battle that can only be handled and won by the Lord God himself. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Go ahead with your call, if you will, please. Yes.
Well, one of the things I noticed as I read the scriptures is that this anti-Christ, anti-Jesus, anti-God movement didn't begin yesterday.
That's right.
I was reading in the book of Acts, so that goes all the way back to the time of Christ and the first when the church began. And so what we're looking at is this persecution that Jesus talked about, which I believe will just precede the rapture. And we may see worse things happening, but we need to stand and make it an opportunity for us to witness.
That's right.
And stand in the name of Jesus and pray, because that's what God would want us to do.
Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 20 says, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Jesus made that statement, 2,000 plus years ago. And we see that being fulfilled today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a major article headlined, Tucker Carlson, : State declares war on Christians, so man flees to another to build a new community based on faith and freedom. In an era when big tech and big media are not just pushing fake news on America, but are suppressing, censoring, deplatforming, destroying Christians and conservatives, pro-America news at every turn. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is Pete Hegseth said what? What did he do? He's the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, at the Pentagon meeting, where he's decided that every month they're going to have a monthly prayer meeting with those volunteer. Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything, yet they're screaming, they, the left, screaming that it is against separation of church and state. Listen, I want to ask you a very pertinent, prominent question that demands to be heard and answered. When we go in the military, when we serve in any capacity, when we stand in the pulpit, when we say yes to Jesus Christ, do we lose our First Amendment rights? That's the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. Are those to be laid on the shelf? Are those to be surrendered because of our position? Most pastors today, and perhaps your pastor that's listening, feel that somehow, some way, you're restricted by law and that you cannot speak about political issues. They're called civil government. God created civil government. He created civil government, according to Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7, to prosecute evil and to protect good. And if we speak about civil government, if we talk about political issues, if we talk about Bible doctrine, church issues, et cetera, or if we talk about any issue that deals with the home, government, or the church, we're talking about a biblical issue. And we have the right, the freedom, and the obligation to be salt and light and to do so. And I don't know about you, but perhaps you've heard me say before, I get a little ill at the stomach when I hear those saying, well, you know, we can't talk about those things. Those are political issues. No, they're not. They're biblical issues, and we need to stand on them. This is the reason we're seeing the decline today as much as we are seeing it. We're witnessing today President Trump and his entire staff, all of the cabinet members, are trying to bring back morals and ethics and values in our nation. I'm looking at a headline. President Trump says no more drag queens and the U.S. military. This is dated May 27th. President Donald Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth promised on the campaign trail that they would declare war on woke generals who turned the greatest fighting force on the planet into a bunch of pronoun-confused social justice warriors. And I'm happy to announce that they have delivered on that promise. The president announced during the commencement exercise at West Point that he's officially banned all drag queen shows, critical race theory, transgenderism, all within the military, U.S. military. Quote, for at least two decades, political leaders from both parties have dragged our military into missions it should never have been in, never meant to be. People who say, we're doing this, why are we wasting our time, our money, and the souls of so many in this, some cases, end quote. He then went down a laundry list of the sins attributed to the prior presidents, including abusing soldiers with absurd ideological experiments and nation-building crusades. They subjected the armed forces to all manner of social projects, political causes, while leaving our borders undefended and depleting our arsenal to fight other enemies, Trump said. But under the Trump administration, those days are over, end quote. This is the reason
ladies and gentlemen, the left and the socialist Marxist media. This is the reason they hate Pete Hegseth. This is the reason they're wanting to find a way to impeach President Trump. This is the reason that they are running around with the hair on fire. This is the reason you have so many of the legislators that are defending the illegals coming into America, the ones that are invading our borders. This is the reason you have had one of the legislators fly to a foreign country and sit down drinking a margarita with a known MS-13 gangbanger that is was deported and carried sent back to his home nation. And yet the national leaders on the left are crying foul that there must be something that will prevent Trump from doing that. And I think President Trump now has some 208 suits against him and his cabinet, and about 185 judgments or injunctions preventing him from carrying out what God's called him to do. And I think it's time that we as Christians understand what is taking place and stand up and say enough is enough. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Well, I was going to comment that you know, a lot of people want us to join them in this hatred, this anti-Christ attitude, anti-Israel, anti-Bible. And I would ask the question and answer it: why some people don't like the name of Jesus? Mm-hmm. Well, the devil doesn't either.
That's right.
And we believe that the devil is working hard, and the children of disobedience today, the followers of the evil one, are joining in this attitude, in this mentality. God is hated. His son is hated. God's word is hated. But we as Christians need to take our stand, and we need to then testify. We need to speak up. We need to be ready to speak, like Peter says, for us to be ready to give an answer. Every man that asks us a reason of the hope that's in us with meekness and fear.
Amen.
And when we do so, let's do it in the same manner Christ would do that.
Yes.
We should not have a hateful attitude when we do so, but lovingly speak. In fact, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to young Timothy, said something in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Have to teach, patient, in meekness, instruct those who oppose themselves, if peradventure or perhaps they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, that passage I just talked about in Paul's letter to young Timothy tells us something. People are caught up as a captive, or like a hostage by Satan. Mm-hmm. They don't realize it.
They're ensnared.
They think they're doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. They think they're doing something that they thought about doing, that they wanted to do. But actually, they are servants, and they're serving the wrong one. The Bible, on the other hand, the Bible tells us, whatever we do, we ought to do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord, we'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for we serve the Lord Christ. We need to be ready to serve the Lord wherever we are. Several years ago, I was in a gasoline station back when the price was fair. Mm-hmm. And while I was in there, was another man there, and he misused the name of Jesus. He used it as a byword.
That's right.
I didn't say anything in the presence of others, but I followed him outside, and I said, "Sir," and he looked around, and I said, "I heard you use the name of Jesus in like a byword." And he said immediately, "Oh, I'm sorry." I said, "That's the name of my Savior, my Lord and Savior." Amen. "Jesus Christ." And he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He really apologized. You know, we might get the same reaction from a lot of people like that. If we would just speak up and speak up for the name of Jesus, because that's the name above every name.
Amen. And that you're quoting then the name above every name found in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. That's the name that God gave Jesus. He's the name above every name. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Pete Hegseth said what? He had a prayer. His pastor had preached. He had a prayer, and he prayed in the name of King Jesus. And as a result of that, we're finding a stir across the nation with the political apparatus that's against God, against Christ, against America, being Christians being viewed as a Christian nationalism. I'm looking at an article. What is Christian meaning of Christian nationalism? In short, Christian nationalism is a desire to have a God-centered nation run by godly people, namely Christians, therefore taking back the nation for God. And I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a state that's doing that. I'm looking at the headline, Texas bill requiring the Ten Commandments in public school classroom heads to the governor's desk. The bill mandating the display of the Ten Commandments in all Texas public school classrooms is one more step from becoming law after it cleared the State House of Representatives and a decisive vote on Sunday. The legislation known as Senate Bill SB 10 passed the House 88-49 following a week of heated debate and rejected amendments from Democratic lawmakers, according to the Texas Tribune. It goes on to say that the Attorney General said that he knows there's going to be a fight against it, but they're willing to battle it. Ladies and gentlemen, the point is, if we put the Ten Commandments back in the classroom, if we focus on moral, ethical, biblical absolutes, we'll find that our children will grow up recognizing God. In fact, in that article about the Ten Commandments, the left in Texas warning all students, if they put the Ten Commandments in the classroom, don't you dare look at it. Just turn your head and divert your eyes from the Ten Commandments that's to be posted in the classroom. Here's another headline of what Texas is doing. Texas is about to ban THC products. Here's what we know. And it goes on to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, that Texas legislature just got through passing legislation, waiting for it to go through the process of the governor's signature, that will ban all marijuana products in the state of Texas, that you can't go into a service station, a gas station, a grocery store, and buy off the shelf the vapes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I commend Texas for that. And that's going back to trying to put morals, ethics, and values back in a city, a state, or nation. That's where we need to be even today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. You